7:17 a.m. in studio, Roger Simon, all-star panelist and candidate for the GOP nomination in the 5th Congressional District. The election is 2 weeks from today. Jeff Beierlein. Jeff, you're a West Point grad, a combat veteran. What's the top issue on your agenda?
I would say by far, Michael, for me, it's the economy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pocketbook issues that are impacting all Americans, regardless of your, you know, your socioeconomic status, your location, et cetera. And you know, this is a result of the Biden administration deliberately inflicting pain to drive their leftist agenda. And you know, that's a big motivator for me. And as a businessman, I think I've got tremendous relevance. I've ran businesses in 7 or 8 different states in healthcare. I've been doing that for the better part of the past 15 years. And I will say, a lot of the challenges that we deal with are self-inflicted by our government, to include the COVID mandate and a lot of the other restrictions they put on us.
Your background is operational.
Absolutely.
You've run businesses for 15 years. In the Army, you were in the Army how long?
For 11 years.
For 11 years. But you were an operational guy, right?
Absolutely. I led units. I led teams on a myriad of missions, you know, across various countries.
In the field?
Absolutely.
And combat in Iraq?
Combat in Iraq. I did 2 tours in Iraq. I was there in 2003 and went back to Baghdad in 2004. Prior to that, for 2 years in Central America, we ran teams at across most of the countries in Central America doing humanitarian relief, counter-drug missions, etc.
So your enemy in this race,
opponent. Right? We're all Americans.
General Winstead.
Tennessee. National Guard, Brigadier General JAG Officer, Justice
yes.
Advocate
well,
General.
How would you contrast his experience and your experience?
Well, first of all, I think that the general and his family should be very, very proud of his service. You know, America should as well. He put on the uniform, went over and served. But I can't say his role as a JAG officer, essentially an Army attorney, is to prosecute soldiers, defend soldiers, and, you know, work through wills, et cetera, on the administrative side. But by no means would I say my experience parallels that. I led units, led teams. We were assigned missions and had to figure out how to accomplish them and take people in, you know, sometimes very, very dangerous situations to pull that off.
So if an Army attorney says that they've got experience doing things other than writing wills, you would be somewhat skeptical.
Well, they're doing things administratively, you know, from an office, and we're out in the field leading.
You flew Blackhawks, right?
I did. Flew Blackhawks.
What's it like flying a Blackhawk?
It's very, very exciting. And I'm, you know, I think 99.9% my takeoff to landing ratio is successful. I did have one mishap.
Well, you're here.
Exactly. And he crashed.
The mishap?
It was down in Central America at the end of a long, long day down in Honduras after a hurricane, Katrina, and this was 1998. And we were overgrossed. Essentially, our weight was too high for the altitude we were on, and we could take off, but we couldn't land. There's a phenomenon called translational lift where it takes less power to actually take off once you get forward momentum, almost like a plane. The heavier they are, the longer the runway they need to take off and land. So helicopters is very similar. But everyone walked away. But that was one of the most dynamic.
The
oh yeah, we crashed hard.
What's it like crashing in a helicopter?
Well, you pray as fast as you can. You know, you're closing your eyes. You know it's over. And when you know when we came to and did accountability for the 6 guys in my aircraft, we realized, okay, we all made it, and we execute those same procedures we practice again and again and again. But this was a relief mission. We had thousands and thousands of pounds of food and goods on board, and there was a whole village of people, hundreds and hundreds of people. I think we counted about 600 people coming after us. But they weren't hostile in any way. They just wanted what we had because they knew we were coming up there via the radio. And then we had to organize that. So after the crash, you know, the real work just began. We had to establish a security perimeter. I couldn't get contact with the radio to call higher headquarters to tell them what happened. It was getting dark, and I felt like Indiana Jones out there for a while, Michael. It was unbelievable. But then again, at the same time, I felt I was prepared as a leader to handle this because there are too many lives at stake, and my responsibilities kicked in.
Well, wow. So, when they talk about baptism by fire, that's baptism by fire.
So you had all the supplies in the helicopter that crashed?
I did, from floor to ceiling.
And were they usable after the crash?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so you set up the perimeter.
We set up a perimeter and established a line. And of the hundreds of people, you know, we were yelling. I did have one Spanish translator with me to try to get the mayor of the village or the leader, be it religious leader or the village leader, to establish some control and help them and help us establish a line to get the goods out while I'm trying to contact headquarters. But the aircraft wasn't on fire. It was smoking, but I could get one radio up, and I got one radio call out. And so they were able to come get us under goggles at night. But it was a harrowing day, Michael.
And you survived it.
Of course, everyone survived. That's most important.
Absolutely. Well, that's a dramatic story.
I'll say.
Of serving our country. Tell us a little bit. When you campaign, what do you hear from folks? What are they telling you? And do you enjoy that interaction with potential constituents and voters?
I thrive on that, first and foremost. The interaction's incredible. I think in many ways, when people talk to me, they feel like I give them a voice, and that's not being heard right now. We have so many of the status quo folks both representing us who don't share the challenges of the rank and file Americans here in Tennessee. That could be the economic challenges. That could be what they're seeing in putting our country at risk. You know, the challenges we have with drugs, and their concerns fall silent by the representatives, and it's unacceptable. So
now, for the listeners, say they haven't made up their mind. The early voting's going on.
Sure.
It'll continue till July 30th. And then the election day is August 4th. And they look at I like this Jeff Beierlein guy, but, you know, he doesn't have a chance. And all the money's being spent on Kurt Winstead and Beth Harwell Andy Ogles. Why should I waste my vote?
Good
on
question.
Jeff Beierlein.
Good question.
That's an excellent question. And I can tell you, if I get in front of people and talk to people and they know more about me, I think become more and more of a viable alternative to status quo. And there are alternatives in this election for folks to review and select. At the end of the day, if they want somebody who's an entrenched politician, they want a lobbyist like Kurt Winstead or Andy Ogles, you know, they can choose that path. I think I'm an alternative to what they've seen before because, you know, I've served our country for many, many years. I've ran businesses, you know, much larger, tens and tens of millions of dollars, ran teams of hundreds of people. And that's different from what they see out there in most elections.
You know, it's an interesting case, what you're saying, because I think it's a situation that many people have met across the country in many elections, which is whether to vote your heart or vote strategically. And most of us have voted strategically most of our lives. Maybe it's time to reconsider that.
Well, Roger, that's aptly put, nicely phrased. Jeff, how big is your staff?
My election staff is small. I have about four volunteers, and I have one person about half-time. So it doesn't reflect the other campaigns.
The other
so
leading campaigns exactly. have, I don't know,
15?
Quite a few people. I don't know the exact number. Yeah. What's a typical day like for you as we finish the last 2 weeks of this campaign?
Sure. That changes as we get closer. But most days I have at least one, if not two, activities where I'm going out and engaging with the voters or attending a GOP meeting by the counties of the six counties because it is very spread out. Now that we've started the election, I'm actually visiting the polls and talking to folks as well and meeting with the team I've got.
So you go outside the polls, you stay the 100
Absolutely.
Feet away, and you say, hi, I'm Jeff
Well, no, I don't stand outside and yell. I actually go in. Even though I've already voted, I go in and talk to the poll workers and the volunteers. And first of all, I thank them for what they're doing and stepping up. I talk to the poll watchers if they're there, the few voters, and just ask them what's on their mind, where they're thinking, how it's going, and if we have access to the numbers. So they know who I am.
Well, that is very, very interesting. And are you, like, what's on the financial side?
Right. We're fine. We can sustain this. I'm advertising primarily on radio as well as on TV. I've got enough firepower to maintain this through the end of the election.
I think
you're I'm continuing the race.
And are you going to be putting more money in, personally?
I'll put a little bit more, but most of all, I think we're gaining momentum.
So you've already put in $100,000.
Absolutely.
That's commitment.
Skin in the game.
A little skin in the game.
Well, you have to have that. But not only is it just money, but at the end of the day, this is what I'm willing to do. And you know, that may be strange to some, but it's not just about taking other people's money. What we're seeing in this race, there's over $1.5 million of outside money, these PACs.
A lot.
Either supporting
or
attacking the top three candidates. You know,
nobody's attacking you yet.
Well, I'd be flattered.
be a good sign.
We'll have more when we get back. This is the Tennessee Star Report in studio with Roger Simon and Jeff Beierlein, a candidate for the GOP nomination. in Tennessee's 5th Congressional District. We'll be back right after this.